recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win. Like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between throwing it down. The Twisted Tuesday has begun. We've got a lot of stuff to break down, including the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Colorado Avalanche and the St. Louis Blues right now, under 4 minutes remaining. Colorado were up 2-1. They posted sevens as far as the totals for these two hockey games this evening, and we've seen they're anything but track meets and shootouts. This really does somewhat have more of a, dare I say, sort of semifinal feel to it. Has more of a semifinals feel to this thing right now than it does a second round. Very intense. Tampa Bay and Florida were was a very intense hockey game. And this is as well. Scoring opportunities across the board, and the St. Louis Blues have just tied the hockey game. Well, we got live action. We got live action tonight. Oh, we're going to go to overtime. We could be going to overtime here. There's 3.5 minutes remaining in this game right now. And the St. Louis Blues, like I said, there were scoring opportunities at both ends of the rink. We expected the series to be a competitive series, but we expect Colorado to have enough to get it done. Wow. Man, you're 3 minutes away from burying these guys. And you know what? We played a couple of final score props here. We played a couple of final score props in this game. And you know what, we got 4-2, we got 4-3, we don't have 3-2. I actually said, I think Colorado will be up 3-2 and then they'll get the empty netter. Well, maybe it'll happen. I think it looks like we're going overtime. Well, man, these totals, wow, low scoring. Will it continue into tomorrow? I think probably it will. I don't see a lot of goals in the Carolina and the Rangers series. I think things are really going to start to tighten up. It was an overfest in the first round, and it was an overfest in the NBA tonight as well. It was an overfest. The game cruises over the number. You know what? We didn't have any shadow issues last night, and I'm about to really, really snap suddenly here. Right now. These shadows. Not a fan of the shadows. Not a fan of the shadows. Feels like I'm wrestling with shadows, like in a freaking documentary here. These stupid shadows. You know what? I'm going to be the first person to, like, you know, go insane for my own shadow, actually. I'm not scared of my own shadow. I hate my shadow. What? It's true. You know what I mean? People are scared of your own shadow, Matthias. I'm not scared of my own shadow. I hate my shadow. I'm going to fight my shadow. I'm going to turn around like, what the hell? What's going on, man? Stupid shadows. No, the late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust over to everybody else in between. Let's roll. It's the Twisted Tuesday. We've got a full house here this evening. We're talking baseball. Jay Jaffe from Fangraphs. Not bad. Jaffe will step up and in. We'll talk baseball with Jay. Andrew McKinnis kicks it with us from Wager Talk. We've got Steve Merrill throwing it down with us as well. As I stated, we got a full house and we've got a lot of stuff to unpack. Jimmy Butler goes off tonight, scores 41. The Miami Heat take game one over the Boston Celtics, 118-107. Game goes way over the number. The number of this game was, closed at 203. Close at 203. We have an opening number right now of 206 for game two. And the number is like bouncing around. All right. Like we've had, it was five. It's 3.5 right now as far as Thursday night is concerned. Now, of course, there was late injuries to the Boston Celtics lineup and COVID, or at least that's the word, right? Al Horford, COVID, and Marcus Smart was injured. Now they're playing once again on Thursday night. We'll break it down. Steve Merrill will step up and in. We'll recap what happened this evening. And listen, the state of Florida treated us very well tonight. We took the Tampa Bay Lightning in game one. We took the Tampa Bay Lightning as underdogs in the series. We took the Miami Heat as underdogs in the series, plus 145. You know, that's why you need to strike when these lines are there. And we talked about this is going to be a classic series in which you're going to be able to get both teams at plus money. We said it last night. And we said it earlier in the day, actually. We were on Hammer Dawn today with the crew. We specifically said, for you sort of stock market type of sports bettors, you could get both sides at plus money. I said, take the Miami Heat at plus 145, and then you'll be able to buy back with the Boston Celtics at plus money if the Miami Heat win the basketball game. I didn't think they'd be dealing the Boston Celtics at plus 130 right now. I could do it. I can put my money where my mouth is and just automatically make money, but all I would really make is a nice dinner. I want more than a nice dinner. I want it all. This is Sports Rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. It's the Twisted Tuesday. It's 2-2. We're going to overtime. You know what? I predicted last night. I said, you know, we're going to have some late night action, and we're going to be on because these games are going to be going to overtime. And here we are, night one of the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, so we're going to overtime. This would be a massive win for the St. Louis Blues. Massive win for the St. Louis Blues if they're able to pull this off. And if they do, they could legitimately win this series. I just sneezed for those of you on the radio side of things. I was pretty good at turning the mic on and off, but I figured I'd share it. It looks like it's going to be one of these nights tonight. I got to tell you, man, I've been on 20 plus years, and we've done like, you know, thousands and tens of thousands of shows. I really haven't sneezed on the air all that much, to be honest. But I've generally accepted that this month, I don't know, the month of May is just sort of one of these months. And in fact, I've actually tripped over my mic cable, like not tripped over, but I never do this. I never do this either. But for some reason, twice in like the last half an hour, I've gotten up and I've like nearly knocked the mic over and like the headset gets tangled up. And like, I don't know. It is what it is. I don't think I drink enough. You know when they say, you drink too much? No, I think I need to drink. we're not drinking enough. So we're like, you know what the problem is? Yeah, I think we all need to have a drink. And I feel like having a drink, all this money on this Stanley Cup playoff action. This is going to bother me, this one. This one's going to really bother me. If the St. Louis Blues win this game, I'm going to snap, actually. Because I was all set to take the St. Louis Blues plus 2.5 games in this series. but I didn't want to lay minus 176 to do it. And then I decided, you know what? I'll take the Colorado Avalanche at -1.5 instead. And here we are right now. St. Louis win this game. They're probably going to win another one. And then there, this instantly goes six. One thing with the Colorado Avalanche, we can talk about, like the Maple Leafs and the Oilers and all these other type of teams. Basically, people pick on the Canadian teams for choking all the time. The Colorado Avalanche have won in the first round, like basically, you know, 4 years in a row. This is the fourth year that we're into this right now in which they've won. But they've never gotten out of the second round. And you know, the St. Louis Blues have won a Stanley Cup before. This would be a big confidence boost for the Blues to nail down one of these games. And I fully don't believe in Colorado. I have Calgary, and in fact, it's all part of the big picture. If St. Louis knocked off Colorado, it wouldn't be the end of the world to me because I have the Calgary Flames to win the Western Conference. I'll own it. I did say the Calgary Flames would play the Toronto Maple Leafs in the Stanley Cup Finals. So now I'm going to say it's going to be the Calgary Flames versus the Tampa Bay Lightning in the Stanley Cup Finals. I did believe that the winner of the Leafs and the Lightning would go to the Cup. Like, put it this way, like, I don't think the Rangers or Carolina would beat the Tampa Bay Lightning after. And I don't think the Florida Panthers are beating the Tampa Bay Lightning. So I think the Tampa Bay Lightning are going back to the Stanley Cup. I thought the Toronto Maple Leafs could beat them. And, man, the Leafs did everything possible to win that series, and they still lost. Like, Tampa wins series even when they're not playing their best. That's the problem with Tampa. That's the problem with beating this team. And people can say, oh, they don't have this guy, they don't have that guy, this guy's not playing as well as he used to, or this and that. Yeah, whatever. It doesn't matter. All they do is win, and you're getting plus money with a two-time defending Stanley Cup champion. It was up to plus 150, man. I got a plus 150 series price. And you know what? I wasn't even in love with playing the series because I was like, you know, I'm just going to take them tonight, and I'm going to win money taking them tonight. But then I was like, I can't pass up a plus 150 on the Lightning. Just as we couldn't pass up the Miami Heat as underdogs in this series. And, you know, this is one of these instances. We will say some dumb things on this show, and we will be wrong sometimes on this show. But one thing that we were bang on about was this series with Miami and Boston, which I said, you can make money on both teams instantly. And here, like, right away you can. If you took Miami last night at plus 145, you could pull the trigger right now on the Boston Celtics at plus 130. Now, it's a small margin. Some people, everyone has a different approach to this stuff, right? Some people, or if you have bigger units, then it's not a small margin. If you're like Paul Bovey, who incidentally, I don't think Bovey's going to be with us tomorrow on the TV show. I think he's flying. He's got good reason. A lot of our guests are high rollers, like Julio, who's always traveling. But Bovey, I don't think Bovey's with us. I think he's going to Puerto Rico. Man, he's going somewhere. he's going somewhere. You know what? I'll send him a message. Who do you like? Never mind where you're going. Never mind where you're going. All right, so listen, we got Rigatoni Al tuning in here right now, I believe. Al, please, you could just tweet me instead of, like, sending me DMs. I really don't like DMs. He sent me a DM. My hometown boy, Craig Bennington, is really standing on his head. It's not something that needs to be a direct message or a private message. You know what I'm saying with this? You know, direct message. Like, basically, listen, like, unless you've got, like, some sort of personal emergency.
He's just trying to be your friend. You know, he just wants to get close.
No, I appreciate the, hey, participate with the show. But what I don't like is I get direct messages and then my phone, like, rattles and stuff like that, which I'm not a fan of. And then it makes me want to turn my phone off, and then I miss an important call because I turned my phone off because I was getting a bunch of direct messages. That's the problem. So I got another dude who was telling me, hey, Morency, the Lightning were plus 210. See, I get all kinds of stuff like that. All right, here we go. Here's Paul Bovey. No, he's going to Puerto Vallarta.
Tomorrow I'm flying to Puerto Vallarta. Won't be able to be on. Perhaps the next day if that works for you. Not sure what a transmission will be like in the hotel. We can test earlier. Let me know. I have some Mavs futures. See how cool I am? I'm reading the personal message. See, that's a message right there. I have some Mavs futures. Nice and to the point. So, Paul Bovey's a sharp, and we like Rigatoni. We told him to call in tomorrow with his golf picks. And Gokester should call in, too. We'll have Bob. We'll have Gokester. We'll have Rigatoni Al. We'll have Cam. We'll have Abano. It'll be a big golf party tomorrow. The PGA Championship. In Sooner Lisa's backyard, actually. And she's actually attending. Yeah, my biorhythm, Jeffrey might be, Jeffrey in our chat might be right. My biorhythm isn't great in the month of May, evidently. I don't want to look at my biorhythms. It might bring me down. So, I don't need to look. So, I already know. But, as I stated, we're off to a great start here. We're off to a great start. So this Boston Celtics series is really, really taking a turn, hasn't it, after just one night? And, you know, the one thing with injuries is we can't make excuses for teams in the NBA with injuries. You can't do it. Because you can't say, oh, that's too bad, oh, Boston. Yeah, whatever. Boston's here because Chris Middleton got hurt. Right, Philadelphia played a Raptor team without Scottie Barnes. He was like a rookie, and he was like their best damn player. Right, Fred VanVleet missed three of the games. Like, you know what I mean? And then they won. And then Joel Embiid gets hurt, and then they lose. So it just sort of is, right? I don't really want to play the if game. We'll hit this and more on the other side. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let me get this straight. You took all the money you made franchising your name and bet it against the Harlem Globetrotters?
I thought the Generals were due. He's spinning the ball on his finger! Just take it! Take the ball! That game was fixed. They were using a freaking ladder, for God's sakes.
Late Night Anger Management Class, this is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. 2-2 right now. Overtime has just begun in Denver. Russell Wilson is in attendance in Denver. He's getting the crowd all fired up. And the Colorado Avalanche are firing pucks right now. They had a scoring opportunity to start this period. So overtime has begun. We often see quick goals in overtime, or it'll take a little while, right? The ice is fast. The teams are refreshed, right? So there's speed. They're both flying around here right now. And here come the St. Louis Blues. Very, very entertaining game. We expected this. Listen, it's going to be some good hockey. The Battle of Alberta tomorrow is going to be lit off the hook. It's too bad, actually. I don't know how many times they're going head-to-head, because hockey actually are pretty hardcore. They really will play every 2 days. I don't know what it is either. Like, you look at the NBA, and I was talking about injuries, right? Like, these NBA players can't get through a damn basketball game without, like, every game. Oh, this guy's hurt now. Oh, he's hurt. He's out. Right? And it's constant. It's constant. You look at the National Hockey League, these guys are really, really getting, like, really murdered on a nightly basis, and none of them ever miss games. You know, Sidney Crosby did. He's had a million concussions before. He got smoked in the head, and then he even, you know what I mean? Like, even guys that get injured come back. Like, you need to have, like, a very, very severe injury. But as I was stating earlier about the NBA, it's too bad. And I was thinking about it earlier. I'm like, I don't know. If you shorten the season, will there be less injuries in the playoffs? I guess if you're playing less games, hypothetically, or is it just sort of random? But it's hard to feel sorry. That's my point. It's hard to feel sorry for any of the teams. It just sort of is. Right, you know, you hope for the best, and this is why depth is important as well. Now, listen, Miami haven't won the series because they won this game tonight. We expected this to be a longer series. I will give credit to Jimmy Butler. This guy is just playing on another level. And Eric Spoelstra as well. It's one of those deals where, whatever, I was on when this guy became a coach, and it was sort of like, who's this guy? And, you know, he's just sort of a yes man. But Pat Riley is just a genius. And I couldn't help but think tonight when they show Pat Riley, like, how different would the Laker organization be if Pat Riley was doing things as opposed to, you know, LeBron James's agent and whoever is, like, whatever is going on there. Like, look at the stability of the Miami Heat organization. Like, with different players, different eras, right? Rebuild, you know what I mean? Done different ways, stars drafted, you name it. Like, they've done it. Riley's done it. Always, you know, I mean, listen, Pat Riley doesn't need anything else. Pat Riley doesn't need anything else, you know, added to his resume. But winning another title would just, you know what I mean? You know, just winning another title would just be unbelievable. As I said, if you just think about it, you know, because the Lakers really are just a train wreck right now. All right, like, you know, that whole thing about, well, you know, we're not in a rush to get a coach. Well, because you don't have one, right? You don't know what the hell you're doing. You still don't really know. You could go in, like, 22 different directions. And, you know what I mean? The NBA draft is around the corner. Like, what's your plan moving forward? What's your team? And speaking of which, there was the NBA draft lottery tonight. Which I gotta say, really, and you know what? The players are pretty good in the NBA, in the NBA draft. But is it just me, or did like no one really seem to care at all about the NBA draft lottery tonight and the results? It was sort of like, yeah, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, you know, seems like everybody. Let's just get to this Dallas and Golden State series. That seems to be the feeling in the basketball world. Although it was a good game tonight, Miami and Boston, higher scoring than people expected, and I sort of thought without Horford or without Smart that it would lead to more points, but I've been burnt enough betting on totals, both in the NHL and the NBA through the playoffs, and I'm a pretty big total bettor, but I've taken a step back from betting as many totals, but I will say that we did pull the trigger on the under of this hockey game tonight. Man, if you're dealing sevens, I got to step in with an under in a playoff game. And maybe it changes as the series goes on. You know what I mean? There's always going to be one game that's going to end up 6-5 or 5-4 in a hockey series. It'll just be one of those nights that everything breaks down. But just out of principle, and, you know, I don't know how much one game should matter carrying into another game, but when we saw the way that Florida and Tampa was being played, I said, listen, you guys really, you're going to go over 7 in the next game after watching the way this is being played? These guys are tough, man. They're warriors. They block shots. It's incredibly difficult. Man, I saw the stat coming into overtime here. Colorado have taken 88 shots. How many of them gotten through? Right, they're at 44 right now, and they're probably taking about 95 shots. So you see what I mean? Like in the playoffs, like basically only like half the shots you take are actually getting there. The 2-2, 14 and a half left. Is there a reason, Matthias, we just lost our screen? what's going on here? I'm telling you, man. I'm not, you know what? I'm in a pretty decent mood just because all my future plays are doing pretty well, but things can always change. Things can always change. I'll be in a better mood if Colorado are able to win this game. So one thing about the NHL I want to get to, we're bouncing around. Jay Jaffe's going to join us too. Jay Jaffe will step up and join us. We'll talk some baseball in a couple of moments. But for those of you, I think we actually lost our feed, bro. It shut down. You're gonna have to redo basically like the show ended, like this, the video's over and all that. So get a new stream going up here. It's one of these nights tonight. Son of a. But I wanted to bring up the Arizona Coyotes. Why? Like, you know what I mean? It's a good point. But this organization, I've never seen a sports team before. I've never seen a team or a franchise be treated as poorly and as disrespectfully as this organization has been in this area. Like, I'm not even, and I know we have a lot of listeners in the area, actually, so you guys know the drill, but how many, like, different lawsuits, arenas, like, just how, you know what I mean? Like, ever since this thing has been conceived, it's just been one sort of litigious disaster. Remember last year, so what, they didn't pay their rent, or they owed the state money, and, like, you know what I mean? Like, they literally got asked to leave an arena. Like, most of the time, arenas will do anything to have, like, a tenant. Like, you know what I'm saying? Oh, we have a tenant that's going to play 40 games here? 41 games? Great. No, they were asked to leave. So, of course, it's a big joke, you know, I'm in the hockey world, that they're going to be playing on the Arizona State campus. And I've always, I've been calling them Arizona State, right? I've been calling them Arizona State all the time. I'm like, you mean the Arizona State Coyotes? So The Athletic actually reports tonight that the Coyotes will not be allowed to put their logo on the ice. even the New York Jets, man. Like even the New York Jets. Like, get to put their logo up in MetLife Stadium. Like, the Giants didn't say, hey, listen, you guys can't put, like, anything. You know what I mean? No, it's sort of like the Clippers and the Lakers. You know what I mean? They changed the look. So not only is an NHL team going to be playing in, like, a 5,000-seat multi-purpose, like, volleyball gym, Arizona State has told the Coyotes, listen, you guys can't put your logo. Like, we're not, like, changing it. Like, it's set. It's going to be a Sun Devil logo on the ice. they get kicked out of an arena. They have to play on a college campus. You know what I mean? Like, some teams play on a college campus because it's like, we're like, you know what I mean? Like, remember the Vikings? It's like, yeah, we're building a new stadium. We're building a new stadium. We'll play at the we'll play outdoors at the college. You know, where the Gophers play. And, you know, that's fine. That's normal. But it's not normal to get booted from your arena and be told, listen, we're an NHL team that should be playing in front of 20,000 people, but now we're going to be playing in front of, like, 3,800 people on Arizona State campus in, what, like, the drama theater room or something? And now Arizona State tells the Coyotes, yeah, listen, you guys can't put your logo on the ice. Just move the damn team to Quebec City. Colorado Avalanche, 3, St. Louis 2, Colorado win in overtime. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Management class continues. This is Sportsrage. Great show tonight. Let's keep it rolling right now. Let's bring in Jay Jaffe, senior writer at FanGraphs, to break it down. Let's talk baseball. Ton of stuff I want to throw at him. Jay, it's always a pleasure, my man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
Hey, good to be here.
So, Jay, I want to kick it old school to bat leadoff here right now, just because I'm pretty sentimental for the 70s and the 80s and that era of baseball. And I saw the video of the Cobra, Dave Parker, throwing out Brian Downing in the 1979 All-Star Game with the Seattle Kingdom. And just in, like, just, you know, awesome throw, man. No hop, right? Like, just like a bullet. Great tack. from Gary Carter, and I just love the video. And even there's Pete Rose at first base celebrating, right? They're just into it. And you know, I was lucky, you know, in my era, I was going to see the Pirates and the We Are Family team and you know, Willie Stargell and the Cobra against the Expos and, you know, the Phillies and Mike Schmidt and all that. But Ellis Valentine was another one with just an absolute cannon from right field. And the Cobra, Dave Parker, and Valentine were buddies, right? They were very similar. So they were buddies, and they used to have, like, contests and stuff, like, you know, at batting practice and just absolutely epic stuff. And I tweeted out, and I respect the hell out of your opinion, so I started going to baseball games as like a five-year-old at Jerry Park in like 1975. And to this day, Dave Parker's the best arm I've seen from right field and from the outfield. And I brought up Ellis Valentine. I know I'm missing others. People were throwing Dwight Evans at me, and people, but what about Bo Jackson and these guys? But what about the Cobra's arm? Like, who's generally known as the best arm of all time?
Yeah, I mean, Parker, you know, people forget he had two great throws in that All-Star game. He got somebody at third base and somebody at home. It was just like two just amazing throws back-to-back there. The two I think of besides Parker and Valentine that come to mind, maybe a little bit later on, but Jesse Barfield of the Blue Jays had an absolute cannon, and Raul Mondesi with the Dodgers, the Blue Jays, and then the Yankees. I mean, I remember even when he was with the Yankees here, I mean, he probably lost a step in terms of his range, but somebody would bang a ball off the right field wall in old Yankee Stadium, and he would just, you know, grab that, you know, barehand that ball, come up with the gun cocked, and I effing dare you to try to get to second base. You've got a long single, pal, or you're gonna get nailed. And it was just a sight to behold, because he just projected this ferocity and had this accuracy. And of course, Ichiro Suzuki just had an amazing arm too.
Yeah.
He had throws that were just a thing of beauty. So those guys stand out. I mean, I couldn't say one. I'm too young to have seen Roberto Clemente. I wish I had.
That's what I was thinking. Willie Mays,
kind of the gold standard. Yeah, I mean, you know, Clemente in right field is the gold standard by which others are measured. But, just so many good ones. Each generation has a few special ones.
You know, I brought up, I was talking, and I was doing the Expos post-game show at the time during the Vladimir Guerrero Sr. I feel weird saying senior. Because, you know, Vlad Sr. was a kid at one point in time.
Yeah, right, man.
But he had a freaking cannon as well, except it wasn't overly accurate. Like, he could hit the backstop sometimes from the warning track, but, like, it was sort of that cringe, like, all right, nobody really knows where this is going. But he started to get cocky, Jay, and it upset Frank Robinson. Frank was an old-school guy. He's like, you don't do that. But Vlad started to try to throw guys out of first base, bro, and hard-hit singles to right field. And that just upsets everybody.
Yeah, Vlad's game was a little unrefined there at points, especially early on. I think that's probably the fairest.
Well, he used to swing at one hoppers, bro. I didn't hit a home run on a one hopper.
Exactly. You know, unrefined on both sides of the ball.
I mean, raw. It was,
but a special player nonetheless.
And so listen, J.J. Jaffe with us, and of course, Jay has the Cooperstown case book. Purchase it, and wherever you purchase your literature, and you know, you can follow him on Twitter as well and get the links. So people, and I saw in the Dave Parker feed, they were like, oh, he should be in the Hall of Fame. And I saw his quote, I don't care if I'm in the Hall of Fame. I get treated like I'm a Hall of Famer. And I love the Cobra, but to me, and you know, I would never try to get into the Hall of Fame debate with somebody that wrote a damn book about this stuff, but to me, you just sort of know. It's a gut instinct. I saw him play in the era. He's not a Hall of Famer, right? He's not a Hall of Famer. Am I wrong? What's your take?
Yeah, you know, he had a great start to his career, but unfortunately, the drugs and the physical conditioning issues really kind of cut into the point where he just wasn't a very valuable player in his 30s. And he put up, you know, he had a couple of nice seasons there, that 1985 season when he had 34 home runs and led the league in runs batted in and made the All-Star team for the first time in 4 years. But for the most part, I mean, you know, he was a low on base guy, you know, empty power. His defense really declined in right field. He was a DH near the end of his career. Now, he still had some uses and even got to go to the World Series with the A's. And, boy, that team was loaded with power. But, yeah, his prime was short, and he spent a lot of time hanging around. And, you know, for a guy who, you know, was reputed to have so much power and also hit for average to end up with just 339 home runs. And I think it's just not quite there.
Jay Jaffe with us. And just quickly about Ellis Valentine, I tweeted out, because, he's not a household name by any stretch of the imagination right now, but, it's amazing. He was the first professional athlete out of Crenshaw High School, which is, that's saying something. But you talked about the partying, and I got to know Ellis pretty well, and he's done a lot of great work with kids in the community in Los Angeles. It was a different time then, and he's the first to admit it, that, a lot of those guys on the Expos, and they weren't alone. That National League East was just crazy, eh, Jay? The division of players and what was going on off the field as well. But remember, Valentine got hit in the face, and he told me point blank, he goes, "I was just never the same. I got hit in the face. He got his cheekbone broken, and he also had some substance abuse issues." But a hell of a baseball player, guys. Had 5-tool player. Like I said, I tweeted out a little clip of him, and people were talking about like one of the best players in the league for a brief period of time there.
Yeah, Montreal has such a reputation as the big party town in the National League, and unfortunately that took a toll on several players. And we saw Tim Raines go through his issues early in his career, and fortunately he was able to get back on the path and ended up having a Hall of Fame career. Not everybody was so lucky, and Valentine's probably one who maybe squandered some of that talent. And, I'm glad to hear he's doing well, though.
I wanted to ask you about Madison Bumgarner. In your opinion, how is it, why is it that this guy is off to the best start of his career and his best start since 2013 at the age that he's at right now? What's the explanation? Why is he so good?
Well, he's doing, I actually wrote about him in the context of the Diamondbacks rotation this year, and his earned run average is really strong, 229, but his underlying peripherals are actually pretty shaky, and his strikeout rate is just 14%. It's the lowest of his career. So he's doing a lot of smoke and mirrors right now. He's getting some soft contact. He's been with Brent Strom, the former Astros pitching coach, came over and has been working with the Diamondbacks and really has had a lot to do with the turnaround of their rotation. We've seen Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly especially take big steps forward. And Bumgarner's benefited too. He's throwing his cutter faster and more often and higher in the zone, and just generally working higher in the zone with fastballs has been one of the trends that Strom has introduced to the Diamondbacks because they were pretty low in terms of the rate in which they did that last year. And so Bumgarner's benefited from that, but he's just not, he's getting soft contact. He's not getting the strikeouts. And that, I do kind of worry, with these peripherals where they are, about the sustainability of his start. His first two seasons in Arizona have been a struggle, and I think he's probably in a better place now than he was then because his velocity is back to where it was in his San Francisco, or at least at the end of his San Francisco days. But I'm not terribly optimistic that this is the full rebound that some people are hoping for.
Jay Jaffe with us. I am Gabe Morenci, Sports Grid Radio Networks, the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio, SiriusXM Channel 159. Toronto Blue Jay fans and the organization had extreme, high expectations. They didn't hide it. Shapiro didn't hide it. Atkins didn't hide it. Rogers didn't hide it. The players haven't hidden it. And I think it's too early to hit any panic buttons right now, but I saw you tweeting about the demise of Mookie Betts was premature, and not that Bo Bichette is the caliber of player yet that Mookie Betts has been, but we saw him get three hits in the first series against Seattle. What's your take on Bo Bichette and the Blue Jays? But let's start off with Bo Bichette, and are you expecting him to break through, or are there concerns moving forward?
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. I'm actually writing about the Blue Jays infield for tomorrow because I noticed that the
synergy, synergy.
Everybody in that infield is kind of underperformed. Vlad Guerrero Jr. isn't hitting to the extent that he did last year. They just optioned Biggio. Matt Chapman's kind of struggled. Bichette hasn't done badly. He got off to a very slow start. He's kind of regaining form. I'm less worried about him than I am about Chapman, but the strikeout rate does concern me with Bichette. He's always been a guy with a lot of swing and miss in this game. Right now, 25% strikeout rate, a little on the high side, certainly is a career high. He's got some things to work on. If I haven't, I can't tell you I've pinpointed it yet because I just started writing this piece for tomorrow.
Jay Jaffe with us. As far as the Jays, the pitching has been solid, right? So you got to imagine that they're eventually going to break through offensively. How much of an impact does it have that they now that they've opened the roof up there for the first time this week?
Yeah, I think it will help them. This is a team. They're 19-17, but they've been outscored by 11 runs, so they're lucky to be where they are. And the Yankees have just gone through the division like a buzzsaw so far. So I think the Blue Jays will come around. I think the having the roof open will probably help the pitching a little bit. They haven't been spectacular on either side of the ball, but they haven't been dismal. I think that they're probably just a couple adjustments away from getting back to where they need to be. And I don't think anybody's going to catch the Yankees if the Yankees are playing 750 ball. But this isn't a panic button situation for the Blue Jays.
Jay, we got about a minute and a half left here, and I always appreciate your time. I've got a bet on the Seattle Mariners over 84.5 wins. They have the longest drought in professional freaking sports of not making the playoffs. And they actually did go all in coming into this season. Clearly too early to panic right now, but they lose a lot of close games that they have won in the past. They're normally a better home team, just 9-7 at home. What's your opinion on the Mariners? Cause for concern, or are they going to turn things around?
Yeah, I'm a little concerned, and I think everybody would like to see them get back to the playoffs because that drought, like you said, has been so long. They made some interesting moves in the off season. The trade for Jesse Winker and Eugenio Suarez. So far, both of those guys have been okay. Suarez has actually been a little bit better than okay in the context of this offense suppressed environment. But I'm a little concerned about Ray. He didn't make the trip to Toronto because he's not vaccinated. You spend that kind of money on a guy who's supposed to be your ace. You expect him to show up for the big games. When he can't make the trip because he won't get vaccinated, I don't know. That's not great. I think you need to be looking for every edge you can when you're trying to break that kind of drought.
Jay Jaffe, man, time always flies, Jay. I'd love to get to the MVP and all this other type of stuff with you, but that's why we follow you on Twitter. Jay Jaffe, Fangraphs, always a pleasure, Jay. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
All right, sure thing, Dan. Take care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, yeah. Fun stuff with Jay Jaffe talking baseball. There's a baseball story we didn't get to, actually. Braves experience a power outage while staying at an allegedly haunted hotel in Milwaukee. Strange things have been known to happen at the Feister Hotel in Milwaukee. And the Atlanta Braves experienced some issues of their own on Monday. Rich Revito of the Associated Press reported the hotel had an extended power outage, which left some players on the Braves unable to shower. So I don't really understand how a power outage has anything to do with like ghost and haunted. You don't have to be haunted to have a power outage. We thought there was more to the story besides the Braves were unable to take a shower. but this place, what I don't understand is if they all know it's haunted, why do they continue to stay there? In 2013, there was a story in ESPN, a magazine, that compiled a list of stories from players around the league who believe that the hotel in Milwaukee is haunted in some different way. Bryce Harper, Giancarlo Stanton, and Pablo Sandoval were among those who shared their stories. Man, I hate when we play there, Stanton said. 2-3, anything's better than 4. It's freaky as I can't say. With the headshot paintings on the walls and the old curtains everywhere, reminds me of the Disneyland haunted house. The less time I'm in there, the better. So, I don't understand why they just don't step up and say, "Listen, we're not, we're not going there anymore." Like, well, you know what I mean? Put us up in a damn Marriott or something like that, right? Wait, George Costanza? I think they probably do it for fun and stuff, but I'm not down. I do believe in haunted buildings, but I need something more than just thought there was a power outage. Whatever, man. Power outage. It could be a power outage, your offense. There's your power outage. Although they did win. I actually thought about that, too. I'm like, should I bet against these guys because they're bitching about a haunted hotel? I was like, no, they'll probably win tonight. And they did.